Okay, everybody, say today's daf is daf vav. We're holding four lines from the top of the Amud. And as you recall, we said yesterday that although initially, when it came to the kusim, it was a machloikis, whether or not you could accept their shechita and under whether and under certain conditions, we had, for instance, Abaye that says that you have to have Yisrael oimed al gabav whilst the kusi is shechting, and if he says everything is great, then you're okay. But not even a yotzev and nichnas is sufficient. Well, according to Rava, no, a yotzev and nichnas is also sufficient lechatchila to allow for a kusi shachti. But that was in the times of the Tanoim. In later generations, Ram Gamliel Beis Dinoi nimnu al shchitas kusi v'yasru, and they said, no more. You cannot anymore trust the shchita of a kusi. And now the Gemara wants to know, why? My time of Gazer Barabanon. What happened? Says him, I'll tell you. Ki hadar b'shimen alozer, shadre remeir lasu yechamra mi bei kusoi. Remeir sent Reb Shimon ben Elazar to pick up wine from the kusim. As he's going on his route, Reb Shimon alozer meets Ashkechei Ahusaba. He meets Ahusaba. The Gemara doesn't tell us who the Ahusaba is, but we... Chulin davam. That's our top choices. Ahusaba is brought several times in Shas, and whenever we learn it, Brother Barry always reminds us that the choices in Chulin Davov, top choices, which is our choices today. Unfortunately, our good friend Barry is not able to join us today, hopefully tomorrow. What does it say in the choices? Yesh meforshim dechol makim shu maske husaba hu Eliyahu. Whenever you find throughout Shas, Ahusaba is Eliyahu Navi. However, says Tosis, there's one place in Masechta Shabbos where you cannot say that. The Efshaloyim came beperek b'mem madlikin, b'uvda the Reb Shimon ben Yochai. In that story there, you cannot say that Ahusaba is referring to Eliyahu Navi. If you want to know more of the details, what does it say in that Gemara in Masechta Shabbos? It says that the Kohanim were terribly inconvenienced because there were a number of fields that they did not know whether there was a caver in it or not. And Reb Shimon bar Yochai was able to figure out a system where that we're to be able to identify if Chas HaShalom there was a mess, and therefore you have to avoid that field, or where there was no mess and you can easily go through. And then there was Ahusaba, who was part of this entire delegation. In other words, Reb Shimon bar Yochai was not doing this on his own, he was doing it in the presence of his Talmidim, including this quote-unquote Ahusaba. And the Ahusaba was critical of Reb Shimon bar Yochai and said something to the effect, you know, are you a Navi? How do you know? Etc. So Reb Shimon bar Yochai got upset at him, and he said to him that even among, in other professions, you have one person who's competing with the other, nevertheless assisting one another. Among Talmid Chachamim, we should certainly be assisting one another and not be critical of one another. So Reb Shimon bar Yochai took a look at him, and unfortunately, the Ahusaba passed away. So that being the case, that cannot be Eliyahu Navi, because Eliyahu Navi is still alive. He comes every day. He's busy this morning going to about 100 different brisim over the entire world. So therefore, that Ahusaba cannot be Eliyahu Navi, but all the others could be. So therefore, in all likelihood, that Yesh Mefarshim, the Ahusaba that is approaching now, Reb Shimon Elazar, was Eliyahu Navi. Now, what did he tell them? Amalei. So Eliyahu HaNavi told Reb Shimon Elazar, he quoted a pasuk. This pasuk is a pasuk in Mishlei. We'll soon see what the connection is. The pasuk says, V'samta sakin biloy echa. Although the word sakin in the pasuk is spelled with a sin, Har Gemara makes it easy and writes it with a samach. You take and put a knife, biloy echa, means in your cheeks, and bal nefesh ata, if you happen to be a person that wants the mechazik on his yetzer hara. So what does all of this mean? Holach Reb Shimon Elazar v'sipa dvarm lefnei Rameya. So Reb Shimon Elazar went and recounted this story in front of Rameya, that Ahusaba came and told me this pasuk v'samta sakim b'lo'echa. Rameya heard that, he apparently knew about this top choices, that Ahusaba is Eliyahu HaNavi, and he said that Eliyahu HaNavi quoted this pasuk that you're supposed to put a knife in your cheeks. That means stay away from anything having to do with the kusim. Therefore, the gozer aleihem, he then made a gzeira, one should no longer buy the wine of the kusim. Even though initially he sent Reb Shimon Elazar, go and buy the wine. Once he got this message from the husaba, he said, no more wine. And what was the reason? Bottom line, my timer. From Nachba Yitzchak to Mas Yoina, Matzu Lehem Beroish HaGrizim, Shoh Yu Oivdin Oisa. So it appears from the story that not that Ramei necessarily was Goizer immediately on the spot, but rather he said, if that's the case, you know, don't buy any wine today. Let's do a little bit of investigation and due diligence. And Ramei heard that there was at least a small contingent of these kusim that went and served a demus yoina, a dove. And there must have been some sort of statue in the form of a dove. And that was placed, b'roish ha'akrizim, shoy oiv the moisah, and that small contingent of kusim were bowing down to it and bringing karbanis to it and treating it as if it was a god. Okay, so you would say to yourself, okay, but there was only a small crowd. We're not talking about all the kusim in the world. However, even though this was only a miut, he's gozer roiv otu miut, and therefore he said, no good, we're not going to go and drink their wine anymore. And from Gamliel Beis Dinoy, when they heard this psak of Remeir, then they went one step further and said, not only don't drink from their wine, but don't even eat from their shechita as well. Gamliel Beis Dinoy, namik Remeir svilahu, that we have to be choishish l'miyuta, and if we find that the kusim are worshipping into Masyayna, then we have to give them the status like goyim gemurim, as we'll see in the Gemara further. Freitimar, okay, so this is how you learn the Pasuk v'sam tesak in b'layachar. Pashu dekrob and ma'iksiv. What's the Pasha de Pshat in this Pasuk v'sam tesak in b'layachar? Says the Gemara, b'talmud ha'yoshav v'nei rabbi. It's talking about a Talmud that is sitting in front of his Rebbe, the Tani Reb Chiya. Now you'll notice there's a new Pasuk now, kiseishav l'lchoim, which is ois beis. If you go to the Torah or Asholim, you'll see that both Aleph and beis are psukim back to back, except that Uizbeis is the earlier pasuk, and pasuk Aleph is the secondary pasuk. I think more, in fact, is going to now quote both psukim. Ki seishiv lilchoim es moishel, bin tovin es asher lefanecha, besam tesakim loyacha, imbal nefesh ota. So what do these words mean? So the Gemara explains. You have a Talmud who's sitting bifnei rabbi. The pshat in the word Moshel means a Talmud Chochem, who's Moshel on the texts that he's learning, on the Gemaras, on the Rambams, on the Mefarshim, on the Mishnais. He's a Moshel. He knows his stuff. Man Malki Rabbanan, who are the Emestik of Malachim, the real kings, royalty, are the Rabbanan that know the Torah Kedosha. Okay, so that's Moshel is referring to a Godel Batayr. And now he gives a shir, and you're not sure with what he's saying is correct. And you want to ask him a question in the middle of the shir. Im yodea talmid berabbi, she yodea lehach seleitan, if he knows about his Rebbe, that he's a great Talmud Chochem, and if I ask him a question, he'll probably know the answer, bin, then ask the question and listen to his answer. V'yam lav, however, if his rabbi is kind of a, not a major league rabbi, he's a minor league rabbi, and therefore he's not such a great Talmud Chacham. And if you can ask him a question, he probably won't know the answer, and he'll just be embarrassed. V'yam lav, tovin es asher lefanecha, you try to figure it out on your own. V'sam tesakim leyecha, don't open your mouth to go and ask him a question when you know he'll just be embarrassed, he won't know the answer, but rather, shut your mouth by putting a knife in it and don't ask any questions. In Bal Nefeshata, what happens if, but I do need to know the answers, otherwise I cannot sleep at night. I'm learning these Gemaras and I just don't understand what's going on. And my Rebbe, unfortunately, cannot answer the question. So the Peroishimen, or therefore what you should do is move on to the next Rebbe, to the next Rosh Hashiva, to the next Yeshiva, to be able to get the answers to your questions. So that's, if you go back to the Pasuk, Yiseishav Lilchem Es Moishav, the Lilchem, of course, here means Milchamta Shel Torah. You're trying to understand what you're learning. You ask your Moishel, if your Moishel is a Godel Batoyra, says Rashi, bid, ask away, and then you'll get your Bina, you'll get your understanding. However, if you see Shvach, Tavon es Asher lefanecha, you understand who is standing in front of you, that he's not such a great Talmid Chacham. Sam tesak v'leecha, shut your mouth, go and close it up by putting in a knife in your cheeks, so you can't even utter a word. And in Baal Nefesh Ata, if you are a real Baal Nefesh and you want to learn and you want to learn Gishmak and understand what's going on, then move on to the next yeshiva and you'll have a new Rosh Yeshiva. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef Shadrei Rabavo La'asuyei Chamra B'Bekusoy. A similar story, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Yosef was sent by Rabavo to go and buy some wine from the Kusim. Ashrechei Ha'usaba, again Eliyahu Navi, Amalei, and he told them, Les kan shomrei Torah. It's not a good idea to go and buy the wine from the Kusim, because you don't have shomrei Torah umitzis. In other words, unfortunately, all of these Kusim are not religious, and therefore you cannot rely on anything in terms of kashrus, and particularly wine, because they might be use the wine for libations for avodah zarah. It's Allah Rabbi Yitzchak Siva Dwarm of Nei Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Yitzchak immediately returned from the mission that he had been sent on by Rabbi Avo, and he told Rabbi Avo this story. And now Rabbi Avo repeated this story before Rabbi Am and Rabbi Asi. They didn't move. Once they heard the story, and he said that these are not Shem Yitzchak mitzvahs, they said, you know what, from now on, we hereby decree upon them that they are Oyv de Kechavim Gemurim. So now the obvious question is, this Gemara follows the previous Gemara, and we're assuming historically it also followed. So Feitim Oyv Lamai, what did they decree that they're Oyv de Kechavim Gemurim? I L'shchita V'yayin Esech Mehasim Gazer Bura Banan. We're talking about they were the ones that were Goyzer. After all, there's already a pre-existing gezeira from Reb Meir and Reb Gamliel Beis Dinai. So what do we need to come on to these new gezeiras generations later or years later? The original generation, meaning Reb Gamliel Beis Dinai and Reb Meir separately, when they were goyzer, it was not ungenomen. Ungenomen means it was not accepted by the masses of Klal Yisrael. However, once Rabbi Rabasi came on the scene years later, and they made the Gzeira, then it was Mekubal throughout the Yiddish folk, throughout Uliyin. Now, what's the reason why? Is that Rabbi Rabasi were more persuasive, that they hold greater religious authority? After Ram Gamliel is a Nasi, Rabbi Meir was Meir Kol B'nei HaGoyla, Rabbi Meir, the great Rabbi Meir. So why was Rabbi Asi, why were they more successful than Kibul Minai? So Rashi says that the reason why in the prior generation they didn't accept it is not because they didn't hold that Rabbi Meir is the Gadol Hador and Rabbi Gamliel the Beis Dinai are the Gdoli Hador. The reason is, says Rashi, the fish are Yerugilim Bahem. They lived among them and they did a lot of mischa, they did a lot of business, they were davening together in the same shul, they lived together on the same block in the same buildings. They were very, very rugged. So to be able to go and tell them, you know, stay away from Kusim, how can I stay away from Kusim? You know, this is my next door neighbor. I learned in Cheder together with him. And we go to the daf together. We go to the store together. You know, we're inseparable. So it was very difficult to go and say, stay away from Kusim, don't drink their wine, don't eat their kashrus. I can't do that. However, in the times of Bami Rabasi, apparently there had already been a breakdown a little bit in society in terms of where people lived, and the Jews moved to other neighborhoods, the Kusim moved to other neighborhoods, and they were no longer so tightly bound with one another, and so they were able to accept this new gzeira.
Were Jews allowed to marry Kusim?
If you hold that they were Geirei Emesein, then you'd be allowed to. If you hold the Geirei Aroyei Sein, that in other words, this was just a fictitious Geirei,
yeah, you
wouldn't be allowed.
Accepted as Geirei Tzedek.
We have a machlokes throughout Shas. I don't know whether the minhag was to follow the Geri Aroyis or the Geri Emes. Once this Gzeira came out, that they're now going Gemurim, from that point on, you're not allowed to go and get married with them, you can't go and eat their meat, you can't drink their wine, good. Maybe you can go and drink their seltzer if it's cold. But otherwise, you can't do anything.
And they open it in front of you.
Open in front, very good. So if you look at the Rashi, Kiblu Minayu, right, so it's parallel to our Gemara, Kiblu Minayu, says Rashi, Lo she'elu gedoylem mehenu. On the side it says, It's not because Rabbi and Rabasi were greater gedolim than Rameir and Gamliel Beis Dinai, and the Shabbatayr Shemayir they rotzu lekabel aleihem lifresh min hakusim. The people could not accept this decree. Stay away from the kusim. The fisha yiragilim behem. They lived among them. They were together with them. But by the time Rabbi came along, then apparently the living infrastructure was somewhat different, where the Jews lived more in their own neighborhoods, kusim in their own neighborhoods. There was not that much intermixing, etc., social intercourse one with the other. So therefore, they were able to go and accept the Gzeira from that point on. Okay, now note that when Rav Ami and Rav Masi made their Gzeira, the Gemara says, they made them into oivdei kechavim gemurim. Now, what's pshat gemurim? Gemurim means total goyim. Means total. Either a goy or not a goy, right? They say by pregnancy, either you're pregnant or not pregnant. Either the person is a goy, he's not a goy. If you come gemurim, what's the gemurim? And ranach b'yitzak levatu rishus v'litein rishus. V'gabi lehalacha by hilchis eruvei chatzeres. You live in a chatzer, and you want to be able to go and carry on Shabbos in that chatzer. And you know what? We're not worried about walls. There are plenty of walls, there are fences, that's not a problem. What we're concerned about is that we have multiple reshuyos, meaning five people, for instance, live in the same chatzer, and each one says, you know, part of the chatzer belongs to me. And the other one says, part of the chatzer belongs to me. To be able to go and carry on Shabbos, there has to be an eruvin, which means people have to be able to go and work together as one, as opposed to each one being on his own. There was a story years ago when they were putting up the new Erev in Flatbush. That was very, very controversial. And many Rabbanim were against it. Some Rabbanim were in favor of it. You know, like every time you have an Erev, you always have a certain amount of controversy. So they had a get-together of Rabbanim to discuss the issues. And they were Mechaber Rav Kirzner, Zechon Livracha. Rav Kirzner was a great Goyin who lived in Buru Park, and he was the Ruv at that time of the B'nai Yehuda Shul. He already passed on, and his son, Zalzayin Gizun, I think is the, he took over, and I think today he's the Rabbi Emeritus. Anyway, regardless, so Rabbi Kirzner was asked to speak, and he said, Rabbi Yisai, what's the whole Inyan of making an Erev? The word Erev comes from the word Harev no Hashem Alekeinu. What means harav? Make it pleasant. Make it acceptable. He says that, unfortunately, whether you're right or whether you're wrong, as soon as the Erev is put up, they're going to be pashkvilin. Pashkvilin means big signs and a book and leaflets and letters saying, oh, it's no good, and they're rishoyim and kol kaidis, and that is the inyan of an Erev, to bring people together in pleasantness, the ma'arav, one Jew with the other, you're going to cause machlaikis. That's the exact opposite of the purpose of an Erev. So we have over here the five people. You know, nowadays, as you know, the way we are, the sakim there, besides putting up the wires and putting up the fences, we're not talking about that aspect. We're talking now about the fact that you're supposed to put away a pekel matzis for to mezake everybody. Well, how does that work? We learned the sechta Erev, and we'll go into it in greater detail, but the basics are that you have, let's say, five people living in the same chotzer, so one person takes a pack of matzahs, and he's mezake it for all the others, and he says, everybody in the chotzer is entitled to go and eat from this box of matzahs on Shabbos. That being the case, it's as if everybody has a mokum shvisa, as if he lives temporarily on Shabbos in that person's house, because he can come in and eat from the matzahs. So if everybody lives in the same residence, it's no longer five separate shuyos, it's as if they've all merged for purpose of Hilcha Shabbos. They're all living under one roof, so to speak. In the time,
under one roof.
Yeah, exactly. So in the times of Chazal, they didn't go and have one person mezakeh for everybody else, but rather everybody contributed. So Erev Shabbos, somebody would go around to all the five houses. This one would give a bulkel, and this would give a piece of fish, and this would give some soup, and this would give a piece of kegel, and then they would park it all in Yankel's house, and they knew that they could go at any time, I mean, reasonable, not talking about throughout the night, but reasonable time, they knock, they can go and eat there, and of course they had some food there. And that became a little bit, if you will, a bit of a tircha and a tirda for the person collecting it, especially if you're expanding the Erev beyond just five residents. If you're doing it for a large city, can't ask everybody to. So therefore, they would just mezake one pack of matzahs. Even the one pack of matzahs doesn't suffice for a whole city, but nevertheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch, it has in it 18 kezesim, and that's already enough for...
It's kind of crummy.
Kind of crummy, yeah. Okay, but anyway, it works. So now all of this works vis-a-vis Jews. What about vis-a-vis Goyim? Can you go and take away the rishus and be mezakeh and say, okay, we're all going to be part and parcel of this Erev? Says the Gemara, we'll see Mechem in a moment, we're going to quote a Brice or a Mishnah, that by a Goy, you cannot just ask for his permission, you have to do schiras rishus. Schiras rishus means you have to go and rent his apartment, rent his condo, rent his house, and say, I'm just renting it for Shabbos, for religious purposes, so that I should be able to go and carry within this whole domain, etc. In fact, even la locha lemaisa, again, la locha lemaisa speak to a competent roof, very often people will go away for Shabbos to a hotel, if the hotel is taken over by, you know, some convention, some program, it's a different story. If you're just going privately and you want to be able to carry in the hallways of the hotel, so you go to the manager down below, you whoever's the in charge at the desk down below, and you say, I want to rent all of the public areas of this hotel for Shabbos for $1. The guy looks at you as if he's nuts, but he'll take the dollar without a problem. He'll say, yeah, sure, sure, and he'll take it, he'll pocket it, no problem whatsoever. Anyway, so this all works.
But I have
yes,
child.
Please.
They own all the furniture, they can go in at any time, so it's not such as a problem as an apartment building. Well, I tried to explain this to my super. He also took the dower, but he didn't understand.
What you're saying is there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. But that's, again, going a little bit beyond the four corners of the Dalet Amos of our Gemara. The only reason why we brought this is because we want to know what does it mean that a kusi is a goy gomur. So the Gemara says, I'm not going to take levatul rishus for litan rishus. Who could it? It says with Gesanya, but I think it's a Mishnah. Could it not? Anyway, which they don't. Yisrael mumer mishamer shabbatei bashuk. A Yisrael who's a mumer. Mumer means he's nebucha machal Shabbos. However, although he's machal Shabbos at home, he watches television the entire Shabbos and he answers the telephone and sends out emails and faxes and all the rest. He's nebucha machal Shabbos. However, at least b'fahesya, mishamer shabbatei b'shuk, when he goes out in the street, he is respectful to the Jewish religion and to his fellow Jews, and he won't do a malacha outside.
So if he's gemur, is his wife a gemurah?
Very good. So it says about such a Jew, mevat l'rishus v'noitz n'rishus. He can go and say to the Jews that are putting together an Erev, regardless of what I believe and whatever I do, l'masa, I give you my full authority to go and take over my rishus as if it belongs, it's merged together with all the other rishuyos into one, and therefore everybody should be able to carry on Shabbos because we don't have multiple rishuyos, it's as if we're merging them all together as one. But that only a Jew can do. If he's unfortunately a mechal Shabbos b'fahesya, ain't a mevat rishus and noitz rishus, nei she'omer Yisrael noitz rishus and mevat rishus, if he is at least a shame Shabbos b'fahesya, but by oivik achom by agoy ad she yiskar, you're going to have to go and rent from him his rishus. It doesn't have to be for $1,000,000, even for a dollar, as long as he's willing to go and rent it, you can go and rent from his rishus. One second. Keitzad, how does it work with a Jew? Omaloi, the Jew says rishusi kenuyelach, rishusi mevataleslach. My rishus belongs now to the tzibur, so therefore you can look upon it as being one Lego piece in this huge, huge Lego toy together, or one piece of the large puzzle. So therefore, I give you a mevatel my rishus and kana v'yitzarach liskeis. We don't even need to do a kinyan sudr or any other kinyan. As soon as he says rishusi v'taleslach, it works, but only by ayid, not by agoy. That's what we meant. Oidicham gimurim. Not only the gabi hilchois kashrus, eating and drinking, whether it's wine, whether it's shchita, but even the gabi getting them to agree to this, it's not enough for them to just say, yo. You have to go and do a schirus rishus, you have to go and rent it from them. Somebody had a question. Bill, everything resolved? Still a question?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, so we continue on. Now the Gemara tells us further about these inyanim, about eating food from a goy or from a from a kusi, what shaglis he might have. So Reb Zeira and Reb Asi iklo lepundika diyoi. They were traveling and they came to the pundak. Pundak, as you know, is an inn or a motel. In yoi, yoi is the name of a town. And Rashi says that the people that lived in that town were amaratzim, and therefore they were choshud al demai. As you know, what demai means is a namaoretz may not have given maisris from all of his tefuah, from all his fruits and vegetables, etc. So, Aisa lekamayu, Reb Zeira and Reb Asi are staying at this inn, and in the inn they had a small kitchen and dining room, and they served them beyim hametzumokos biyayim. Beyim, of course, are eggs. Mitzumokis, as Rashi means, tzluyos harbe. They were very well roasted. And to give them more time, they would go and pour in some wine. So now we have Reb Zeira and Reb Asi together. Reb Zeira le'ocher. Reb Zeira refused to eat, and Reb Asi did eat. Omri Reb Zeira, Reb Asi, Reb Zeira says, Reb Asi, le'chayish ma'le taroy v'stamai. After all, you see that, you're right, the eggs is not a problem. The question is, however, there's wine. Since this wine is owned here by the by these Amaratzim, and we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael where there's a Hilchois giving Truma Samaisers, so how are you allowed to go and eat? It's Demai, and if it's Demai, you're not allowed to go and eat from it, unless you gave a Maisers. Omalei, so Reb Asi answered, La'abatei, I wasn't thinking. In other words, as we were sitting there, I was thinking over Gemara, we're thinking about this Toises, with the Ahusaba, with Eliyahu Navi. I wasn't thinking straight, but you got a good point. So I'm Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira says, I cannot believe that Reb Asi was nichshal in eating something which he was not allowed to eat. Why not? I'm Reb Zeira, Efshe gozru al teruvis demai. If in fact teruvis demai, in other words, not talking about demai itself, too much, demai that is mixed into the eggs, which is an exceptional type of case.
Umestayim, if you do it in demai.
If you do it in demai, yeah. Demai, exactly. Is it possible the Kodesh Baruch Hu would have allowed Reb Asi to go and eat the Dvar Isser? What is this story of the Behem Shel Tzadikim? This is, of course, a very famous story that a Pinchas Ben Yoyer had a Chamor, and not only was Pinchas Ben Yoyer was the Tzadik Hador, but even his Chamor learned from Reb Pinchas Ben Yoyer, and he would not go and eat from something where no trumis or maisris had been given. So can you imagine if a behemish or tzaddik, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't allow him to have the kol al yom? Tzaddik ematzvah lekoshchin tchan abad and abad le'Reb Asi uzach hagris tzaddik. How would a Kodesh Baruch Hu allow him to be nichshel in eating some sort of toredus demai? Yes.
I thought, if anything, the test for tzaddikim are even more difficult.
And therefore,
so what do you mean, like, how could God arrange for it a scenario where a tzaddik could be falter?
So, the question you're asking, a very good question. This that we say in the Gemara that Behemdashal tzaddikim, and Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe tekol al yodim, tzaddikim atzman like kolchkeng. So if you look at the bottom Toises on Hey Amid Beis, Toises asks from other Gemaras, which were not referring to food items, but you see Tzadikim Matan, they call it Tzadikim Tema. To Ashkan Yehuda ben Tabai, Shehorig Eid Zayma. Yehuda ben Tabai was the Rish Bezdin, and he went and said this Eid Zayma should be killed, and the Gemara said that afterwards that was a mistake, which you have to have at least two Eidim to establish that he was an Eid Zayma. So Yehuda ben Tabai, for the rest of his life, he was in sorrow and in mourning, and he would go to the gravesite of that Eid Zayman to ask for forgiveness on a daily basis. Rabbi Shmuel Shekar Vehita, Perikam de Shabbos, the famous story of Rabbi Shmuel, where the Gemara says that you're not allowed to read Lioir Haner on Shabbos, because if you do, you might come to adjust it. And Rabbi Shmuel said, I'm not going to come to adjust it. I know that you got to be careful with Haferot Shabbos. And Rabbi Shmuel then got fatifed in this toises here at the top, and without thinking, unfortunately, he adjusted the lamp to make it either a little brighter or a little less bright.
Not a light issue.
Yeah, not a light issue at all. So don't we have that problem? How is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu allow any Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe to call out Yodan? So toises are you? I'm reading the Dafka Midi Dachila. Any Kodesh Baruch Hu maybe to call out Yodan? She Gnai Hu Letzadik She Oichel Dvar Iser. Kodesh Baruch Hu goes and makes special protections for tzaddikim that Chas Hashem they should never be nichshel to go and eat a dvar iser. See, he doesn't protect them; they shouldn't be oiver and aveira. Unfortunately, we're all Ein tzaddik ba'oretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. Even the greatest tzaddik, amul amul, he makes a boo-boo, he makes an error, he makes a mistake. But to go and eat something which is prohibited, Hashem Yisborach would not allow for a tzaddik to do that. Tosfos doesn't go into it, but in other Gemaras it says that a person who eats something which is non-kosher, it's metamtim esalek. It goes and causes timtim alay. It affects the heart, right?
At and least the brain.
And the brain, and the spiritual heart, and the spiritual brain. So to have somebody in his actual inner, it's part of his evorim and yidim, Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow for that. So Ibazoi, how did Kodesh Baruch Hu allow that Rabasi should go and eat this teruvis demai? So therefore, Reb Zeder said, there must be a basis for saying that it's kosher and that he did not err in eating something prohibited after all. So even though Reb Zeder himself didn't eat, so Reb Zeder could have said, see, I was smart, I thought about it, I didn't eat. But he's trying to defend the covet of Reb Asi that did eat. It's Kenish Zayin that he ate the Dvar Issa. So Nofik Reb Zeder dok the Ashkach, the Natsu Dvar Mishnah. Halekiach Yain losif the Toich Hamurias. Or the Toicho Aluntis. When the person buys wine to add to Murius. Murius is fish zaft. Fish zaft is fish sauce, where there are little pieces of the fish inside the sauce. And to make it really tasty, some people add some wine. Or the Toicho Aluntis. Aluntis is another type of ma'achol. Rashi uses a French term, which presumably is poison. Poison is some sort of...
Poisson means fish in French.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Very good. So if
it's
you look...
Not, but if it's not kosher, it's like poison.
Exactly. Poison, poisson. Very good. So if you look on the fourth line of the Rashi, you see the first word is poisson. So, shenoisin mayim v'yayim v'shemen afarsamayim. You mix together water and wine and balsam oil and presumably some fish. Unless maybe this is not poisson, maybe it's potion. Potion, something to drink. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, but the point is, it's something that you eat or drink, and the question is, if you buy wine to go and put it into either the fish sauce, or into this aluntis, or you bought kashinen, lasis mehen tchinen, kashinen is usually a food that you serve to animals, vetch, like a cattle fodder, you call it a vetch.
I know, I think that's understood.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what vetch is, but yeah. I want to stay away from it, because the name just kind of vetches me and kvetches me, and I can't even know. Anyway, las is mehen tchinen. So he bought these kashinen to go make tchinen out of that. What exactly? Tchinen
says vetch.
Vetch. So what does vetch mean? If you look it up in the Google, it's probably a picture of something or other. Anyway, so you take the vetch, and what do you do with it? Rashi says that tchinen is a machuk shal grisin, the tavlin mu'uravim by. Grisin is usually defined as beans. So this was some sort of stew of beans, a bean stew, maybe something like a chili, right?
Chili.
A chili, oh. Was it cold like the salsa? Was it chili or was it warm? Anyway, so kashin las is men tchinen to go and make such a beef stew. Adashim are lentils. Las is men resisin to make also some sort of lentil stew. In all of these cases, you want to go and buy wine to go and put into these things or kashin or these other things. Chai mishim demai. You're not letting it just go willy-nilly, go and buy it and just add it as ingredients. And for sure, if it's not a demai, it's a vadai that you didn't give maisris, then the vadai you can just go and buy it and put it into your muris, alintus, etc. However, if you're buying it after the fact, in other words, you're buying muris from an amoret that has already wine mixed in, or aluntis where there's already wine mixed in, that's okay. What's the reason why? Because this Mishnah holds that they were not goyzer on teruvis demai. They were only goyzer on demai be'en. So the svara is ganz poshut, because it's almost like a gzeirah, like a double drabonan type of thing. Meaning, the whole Indian of demai, the Gemara says, roiv ami oretz ma'aser nei. There was only a small percentage of not ma'aser. Therefore the Chum said, since it's at least that 5%, 10%, whatever the amount is, we have to be cautious, go and give true a master's from demai. Mm-hmm. But that's only a drabana. And now we're not talking about the demai itself, that I'm consuming the wine. It's now getting mixed in with taruvis. Taruvis is just the tam, it's not the end. It's like already a double derivative, a double xera, and therefore they were not goyzer. And therefore now Reb Zeira is defending the reputation of Asi and saying, you know why Reb Asi was able to eat it? Because in fact, our Mishnah says, taruvis demai is okay. Right tomorrow. It's like Gozer on Teruvis Tamai. Is this Taka true? That they were not Gozer on Teruvis Tamai? Ah, Ivotanya. On the side it says, Velo Ivotanya. Okay. It doesn't say in the Braisa. Hanoisim Lishchentoi Isa Leafois Ukadeda Lamashel Ein Achoishish Lesaor Vetavlin Shibon Loi Mishim Shvias Veloi Mishim Maser Vim Oma Lo Asili Mishalichi Choishish Lesaor Vetavlin Shibon Mishim Shvias Ushim Maser. What is this all about? A person went and made a dough, and he or she did not have an oven to bake the dough in. However, their shchentoi, shchentoi means the lady, the neighbor, they apparently are people of means, and they do have an oven which you can use to go and bake. So, I went over to my nice neighbor, and I said, Sally, Nancy, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. McGillicuddy, could you do me kindly a favor? I would like to go and bake my Issa in your oven. Is that okay? What are you begging me for? You've been doing this for the last 50 years. Of course, no problem. Come on over. And in addition, I give her whatever seasonings I would like that should be added to this dough. So I give her the salt and sugar and whatever it's
up. Frankincense,
yeah, okay. And ukter levash, or if she didn't, I didn't have a stove, but they do have a stove. So I said, oh, you have a stove, let me go and cook something in your home. If an hour later I come to pick up that dough, which has now been converted into a challah, into a matzah, into a bread, whatever, I don't have to worry about that the shchenta went and switched sa'or on me. One of the ingredients that I gave was sa'or, which is sourdough. Maybe she used her own sourdough and put it into the isa, and she took my sourdough away. Or the tavlin, which are the spices, with the seasonings. I don't have to worry that she switched seasonings on me and used mine for her cake or for her whatever stew that she cooked, and she went and gave me her tavlin instead. I don't have to worry. And what worry would I have? You know, after all, it's more or less a replacement. I don't have to worry about if it was Shemitah year, that maybe she gave me Seor or spices from Shemitah, which you were not supposed to use. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about that she didn't give Maisris, because I can assume that whatever I gave her, she used, and she gave me back the finished product, not using her ingredients, but using my ingredients. However, Im Amallah, if he gave her carte blanche, Asili Mishalichi, here I give you the dough, and do me a favor, to whatever ingredients you want, just bake the cake, bake the bread, or whatever. Then he does have to be noivis, mishum shviyis, mishum aisa, because since she is an Am Aretz, even if she's Jewish, but she's an Am Aretz, as being an Am Aretz, she may not be makbid on Hilchah Shmita, she may not be makbid on Maiser, so then it would be prohibited, I cannot eat it until I am mevarer whether there's a Shemitah issue or whether I have to give Maisers. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
An Amoritz is a Shomer Shabbos yet or no?
An Amoritz is a Shomer Shabbos, but it's assumed that he or she didn't know basic halachas, right? They're illiterate. And they just don't know. That's the reason why they were sacking the whole parsha of Tamai. Not that people intentionally didn't want to give Maisers, they just didn't know better. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So what do I see from this? That when it comes to Taruvis, they were Goyzer. How do I see that they were goyzer? Because when the shchenta gives back in the sefer, asili mishalichi, go and make it from your own spices and stuff, and now she hands it back to me, well, guess what? It's now teruvis. Any bad ingredient that is a chshash of shmita or meiser, it's teruvis. Didn't we just say a moment ago that we're not goyzer on teruvis demai? Evdi mara, that's all after the fact. Here we're talking before the fact. Kimin de ka'omalu asili mishalichi, since he said to her, you can use whatever spices you want, no problem, I rely on you. It's commander Orbiadayim dummy. Rashi says, it's as if he appointed her to be his shliach, to go and cook and bake as she likes. No, if that's the case, prior to the mixture of Adi, you're not allowed to go and take the mai. It's like the case of Halakiach Yayin. You're buying wine to pour into the murias. Make sure that that wine is clean from any chshash of Maisris, of Shemitah, of anything, of other. When did the Braisa say before, when the Mishnah say before, you can go and eat it, it's talking about it was already mixed in, after the fact, since it's Teruvis, and it's the Rabbanon, the Mai, Chum said that's okay. So therefore, you don't have a kash over here, because you're talking about that you instructed her to go and put in whatever she wants, mm-hmm. and whatever she wants includes demai, etc. Rav from Omar, Shani Sa'or B'Tav, you really can't.
Rav from Bar Papa, I should.
I'm sorry, once again?
Rav from Bar Papa.
I don't know how many Raframs there were at that time. Maybe. Rafram Omar Shani Sa'or V'Tavlin to the time of it. The time loy bottle says, Rafram, you really cannot ask a kasha from Sa'or V'Tavlin on a case, for instance, of Yayin. Why? Because Sa'or V'Tavlin, by definition, why do people go and put in onion powder and garlic powder and parsley flakes and this and that into the food? Because they wanted to give it a tam. When it comes to tam, that doesn't easily become bottle. When we go back to Avodah Zarah in another couple of years, maybe you'll even have it in Chulin, when you have a teruvis of kosher foods and non-kosher foods, typically you can go Basar Shishim. However, it says if you went and tried to mavatl something he gives a tam, such as any type of spices, then it does not become Basar Shishim. Excuse me. Thank you. I was smelling the spices. Yeah. The reason is because... No, it's not that. Thank you. The reason why you don't have to... the reason why you don't go bust a shishin, because by definition, if it gives time, you might feel it even in 100 or 150. That's the purpose of putting in these spices, that you should feel them. So it does not easily become bottle, and that's why if you have in this Isa or in this Kedera, the Sa'or or the Tavlin, even if you hold that teruvis to mai is mutter, here it wouldn't be mutter because it would not become bat. Break tomorrow, but chalufi loy chashinon. You said that we can rely on the shchenta that she's not going to switch. Vartanan. And the Gemara is going to bring now three cases where we are choshed people for switching. Hanoisen lechamoisai. Person who goes over to his chamoisai, his shviger, his mother in law, and asks her, he gives her lemoshel a dough, and says, please go and bake it for me. Any ingredient that he puts in, he better make sure to go and give maestris in advance. And when he gets back the finished bread or cake from his chamoisai, he has to give maestr again. Why is that? Because I'm afraid that she, if she notices that the dough doesn't bake that well, and it comes out kind of platchik means flat, instead of rising to the occasion, she might go and keep that for herself, and she's going to go and make a totally brand new dough for her son-in-law. Oh, so you see, I'm worried about that she's machlif. You said before that if you give to your shchenta, you don't have to worry about that she's going to be machlif, the sa'or or the tablet. Everything more hasen can tanya, tanya. There it says in the Braisa, you know why the case of Chamoisi is different? She wants that there should be a good marital relationship between her daughter and her son-in-law. And she's afraid that if she's going to go and give back the son-in-law that original Isa that he gave to her, if it's going to be flat and it's not going to have any tam, he's going to be in an upset mood, and then he's going to argue with his wife the whole night, oh, about this and about that. He's going to have heartburn and stomach burning. He's going to have to take antacid tablets and Tums with Pepto-Bismol and all the rest. He wants her to be in a good, he should always be in a good mood, always friendly to the wife, always happy. So therefore I have to worry about this.
This is a mother-in-law?
A mother-in-law, can you imagine? Okay. It's a good mother-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did it say in the
dear Shane? She's worried about her daughter more than her son-in-law.
She's worried about her daughter, right? Right, Tzibita Kanas Bita. She doesn't want that Chas Hashem there should be any friction between the two. Good. Kidding, Don. So tomorrow, it's only because of the mother-in-law, mother situation, that's an exception to the rule. But normally you're saying, I'm not worried about a chalipin. Really? But then I learned in a Mishnah. You have a, as we'll see in the Gemara in another moment, we're talking about Talmidei Yeshiva, Bnei Torah, that they didn't have a dormitory in those days, but they stayed at a pundak. Pundak, of course, is an inn, like we had before. The pundakis means a lady who's in charge of the inn. She has the inn in all decisions.
Right.
In all decisions. Okay. Anyway, so you have this ben Torah, and he gave to her something to bake or something to cook. Noisin the pundakis, shaloi, to his own pundakis. Ma'asra eshu, noisin la v'eshu, noitel himena. Anything that he gives to her, anything he takes back from her, he always has to give meiser again and again. Why? Because in fact this not may not be what he handed over to her, she gave him something instead. Oh, so you see that we're choishir that people are machlif, and you said, no, we're not choishir. Tomorrow, hasam nami mur v'yomra, bar be'rav leichol chamima v'no eichol karira. You have over here a pundakis who is a shtickle tzadekis. Maybe not a shtickle, maybe a groisa tzadekis. She says, this is a bachur yeshiva who's learning and learning geshmak till late hours in the night. I'm going to allow him to go and eat cold stuff, and I should go and eat warm new chalas or bukaloch or whatever. So she said, Muri v'amra, I'm not going to allow for him to have something cold. Va'abi rav leichol chamim, he should have something fresh. Not something that was came out of the freezer from 3 weeks ago. Something fresh, something geshmak. And I will be the one that will eat the cold stuff. So he should have koyach and vibrancy to learn and to learn reinvigorated, etc. But normally, lechalufi lechashina. I'll show you another case. Eishes chover toichenesim eishes am ha'aret. Bizmanshi tamea. Avaloi bizmanshi hitahir. Toichenes means to go and grind. How do you grind something? You have these hand mills.
Grinders.
These grinders, exactly. So now, you have two neighbors. You have Knendel and you have Sally. And Sally says, Knendel, can you help me out today? I'd have to do a lot of milling. Come on in. So now, Knendel, who happens to be the Eishes Chover, that's how she got the name Knendel, she is very, very makbid, of course, on Tumah, the Tahara, and Maisris, and all the rest. Eishes Amoritz, unfortunately, is not makpida. So when is Eishes Chover allowed to go and be tochenes with the Eishes Amoritz? Says the Braisa, Bizman Shehid Tameya. What means Bizman Shehid Tameya? When the Eishes Chover happens to be Tameh, for instance, she got her period, and therefore she's waiting until the period ends, and then she's going to go to the mikveh, etc. But now she's Tameh. So then she's allowed to go and help out. Avloi Bizman Shehid Tohira, but not if she's Tohira. Now what difference does it make if she's Tameya or Tohira? The Gabi helping in the milling. So Rashi explains, we'll see a little bit more about this in the Gemara momentarily, that this Eishes Chover, when she is Tameh, she knows that this happens on a regular basis. That's all, that's the Oirach Kanoshim, as we're familiar. So then, any time she's in that Tameh period, she's in her period, what happens is she's always very, very careful not touching any food, because she's sensitive to the fact that she's Tameya, she's going to cause the food to become tummy. So wherever she goes, whether she goes to a chasana, whether she goes by mitzvah, or she's going to her next door neighbor. What would have to, she doesn't touch any of the food, she only touches the kelim. And or she has help that's going to go, or there's something in the refrigerator. In other words, you're right. If she is Tameya, then they're going to have to make some sort of arrangement that her husband should be able to eat. But in our situation, you have the Eishes Chov and Eishes Hamaretz who are doing the tchina, the milling together, the grinding together. And to do the grinding, you don't have to touch the food. So that's not a problem. And since she is Tameya, she's not going to touch the food because she's very sensitive to touching any food, to making a tummy. But if she happens to be in a Torah days, then she should not go and help out with the tchina. Why not? Because I'm afraid, since she's Torah, she's not careful about other people's food. She might decide, you know, I haven't eaten the whole morning and I'm very hungry. She might take a little bit of the dough or whatever food they're working with, make a brucha and put it in her mouth, and she might eat. So therefore it says, if she's Tameya, she can go and participate in tchina. However, if she's Tahira, she should not participate because I'm afraid of potential gezel. She's going to steal unwittingly, put it into her mouth, etc. Why? Because even though she's not going to touch any food because she is so sensitive to Tumav Tahara, because her chaverta, meaning the Eishes Amoretz, may decide that she's going to go and give a little bit of the food. She says, Gnendel, you're turning pale. You must be very hungry. When's the last time you ate? 6 hours ago. Here, take a little piece, and she puts it in her mouth. Hashda migzal gozla, madach the Eishes Amoretz is stealing from her husband, masha kona isha kona bala. So whatever belongs to her, by definition, belongs to her husband. She cannot go and just willy-nilly give away food without his permission. So hashda migzal gozla, madach, she is a gazlan and steals the food. Chilufa miboyi nechavada nevada, she's going to be moira heter to be machlif food. your food for my food. It's all food, come on, so you make a switch. So we see that you do have to worry about chalipin. Amrav Yosef, Hasam Nami Muri the Amra, Toira Midishe Ka'achel. She's not a gazlan, she's not a bad person. Quite to the contrary, she's a very good person. And she, being an Amratista, says, I'm going to make my own kal v'chomer. We all know it says in the Torah, Loisachsam Shar Bedisho. If you have a shar that is working in your daish, meaning threshing in your field, in your granary, then Loisachsam, don't put a muzzle on, you have to allow the shar to be able to go and eat. Now, if that's the din by a shar, are you shar? Yes. That's the din by a shar. Then a chavad and a vad, if you're talking about a person, how can I allow her to work in the field, or in this case, not in the field, but work in the grinding without giving her also something to eat? She's not worse than a shor chas v'shalom. So therefore, a typical woman, la'alma lo'i chashina, we're not worried about chalipin. But we have three exceptions to the rule. We have the exception of the chamoisai, who's worried about takonas bita. We're worried about a case of a pundakis who has rachmonis on the bentoira, who's learning and is eating cold, old food. And we have a concern over here about the Eishes Amoritz, who wants to be kind and gracious to the Eishes Chover and might hand her over some food without the permission of her husband. Under normal circumstances, I'm not worried. With this, we end this sugya, and we continue on Vaita with Remeir, that just like Remeir made a gzeira not to go and eat or not to drink the wine of the Kusim, Remeir was also active with other kashrus issues, as we'll see. Hayyad Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz, who was the ben Chomov, he was the son of the Shver of Remeir. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz's father, who was Zeruz, he was the brother-in-law of Remeir, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeruz is a nephew of Remeir by marriage. And that his father was a Shvugar, he was the son of the Chomov, of the Shver of Remeir, so therefore he was a brother-in-law. And now the nephew is saying about his uncle, Lefnei Rebbe, Al Remeir she'ochel alei, or Ola, shel yerek be'beit she'an. Beit She'an is a city that we normally consider to be part of Eretz Yisrael. Even today, there's a place called Beit She'an. Whether today's Beit She'an is the same as Beit She'an of yesteryear, I have no idea. Only God knows exactly right. There's a presumption because they have found some...
The bathrooms.
They found bathrooms in Beit She'an, and there's graffiti on the side. This was
Roman bathroom from
Could be. Good.
Mm-hmm. With running water.
Excellent. Anyway, bottom line is this Beit She'an apparently was north of Eretz Yisrael, and there was some shayla where they had a din of Eretz Yisrael or a din of Chutz Laaretz. Rebbe was matir in Beit She'an to go and eat without giving trumos u'maisres. Hita Rebbe et Beit She'an, Kula, Al Yodoi Chaveroi, one second. Lefnei Rebbe al Remei She'och al Shel Sherek Beit She'an, Hita Rebbe, so based on this story that Rebbe heard from Rebbe Shua ben Zeruz, the nephew of Remeir, that said that Remeir was Matir, so then Rebbe accepted that testimony from Yeshua ben Zeruz, and what did he do? He was Matir Beit She'an, Kula, Al Yodoi, and Chibru Olav Echov, and Ubeis Oviv, Shikin, and Kula Al Yode. Al Yode is a period. That Rebbe was Mater, the whole Beit She'an Al Yode means based on the testimony from Rabbi Shua ben Zeruz. Now the Gemara says, Chibru Olav Echov Ubeis Oviv. Now all the brothers of Rebbe and the family, the paternal family, Omrulai, Mokishav Isecha, Vavoisav Isecha, Noago by Issa. We remember in Tatashtib, when we were by Daddy, by Tati, by Abba, years ago, they were very makbid in giving trumas and maestris in Beit She'an. After sitting by Heter, you're going and making a Heter. I mean, how can you go do something like that? You're tearing apart the generations of Minigal Isser, and you're saying it's Gunish mit Gunish. So, the Rebbe responded, Dorish Luhu Mikrizet, says in the Pasuk, that Cheskio HaMelech was Kites Nechash HaNechoshes Asher Osa Moshe. Ki Ad Hayom Emohema Hoyu B'nei Yisrael Mekatron Loi V'yikr Loi Nechushtan. What is this all about? We know in the Chumash it says that there was one time that Klal Yisrael unfortunately erred and sinned, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent Nechoshim after them to go and bite them, to kill them, and then Moshe Rabbeinu was Mespalel, and Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Go and make a nochosh, v'sim oisoy al neis, and whoever is going to look at that nochosh, the hibit boy v'choy. He's going to look at that nochosh, he's going to go and live. And the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu manufactured such a tower or such a statue of a nochosh, and he made it out of nechoshes. Nechosh, of course, is copper. And Rashi says, because loshen noifal al loshen, nochosh and nechoshes. So he made such a copper nochosh. Now, how did it work when people looked up to it and then all of a sudden they had a refuah? So the Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us that it's not that this nochosh had some sort of magical powers, but rather when they looked up, people said, don't look to nechash nechoshes. Look higher into the heavens, the one that's on top of that tall nochosh. I mean, the Rabbi Yishlalim, that's the one that gives you the refuah.
The Mishnah we're in Rosh Hashanah, right?
Sorry?
Is that a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah?
I thought it was Avodah Zarah. Maybe it's Rosh Hashanah. Kenza, maybe it's both places.
Yeah, Moshe does Nochama.
Exactly. So that the Mishnah says, and there was a popular song years ago, and it was Rabbi Sons or somebody else. Shekhodesh Baruch is the one that does the Muhammad. So it's not the Nechash Nechoshes, it's not Yod of Shemoshe. Right? Yod of Shemoshe, he put them up, and as long as Yod of Shemoshe was uplifted, they knew they're going to win the war, he put them down, they knew they're going to lose the war.
They kept his arms up.
Exactly. Exactly. Not to surrender, but to go and to invigorate the troops that they should fight. All right, so what happened, however? So let's first see what the Gemara continues, and then we'll go back. Says now Rebbe, Efshebo Asa, V'loi Biaroi, but Yoishafet, V'loi Biaroi. Asa and Yoishafet were predecessors of Cheskiyo HaMelech. And just like Cheskiyo HaMelech was a tremendous tzaddik, so too Asa and Yoishafet were both great tzaddikim, and they destroyed all of the Avodah Zarah throughout Eretz Yisrael. They did not destroy, however, this Nechash Nechoshes. So Frank the Gemara, V'loi Kol Avodah Zarah Sheba'ilam, Asa V'Yoishafet Biaroi. Any church, any Bama, any Balpa'ar, any Markulius, anything that they found, destroyed. Why did they leave over Nechash Nechoshes? Says Rabbi Alamokim Inichu Le'avois of Lizgader Boy. The Rabbeinu Shloilem and Asa and Yoishafat decided that we want to leave for future generations also mitzvahs. We don't want to take all the mitzvahs for ourselves. So they left something for their Einikol, for Cheskiyo HaMelech, so then he would be Liskadel, excuse me, Rashi says Liskadel means like Liskadel, that he will become distinguished for his Masim Tovim, for his Kanois, for Hashem. So Afani, Mokim Nichali Avois and Liskadel, my fathers and forefathers, they also left for me an opportunity to distinguish myself and to go and say that that in Beit Sha'an is from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore you don't have any problem of giving Trumois and Maestris. So that was.
Look
at the last Rashi. Chites Nechash and Choshes B'Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda Ksef. Now, why taka the Osen Yoishofet not destroy the Nechash and Choshes? The reason is because they destroyed Avodah Zarah. Anytime they came by a church, it's a base of Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. Boom! They demolished it. They got rid of it because they didn't want Klal Yisrael to sin with Avodah Zarah. However, Nechash and Choshes was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. And the whole purpose of that was that people should look up and they should have a munah bitochen Hashem, and then Hashem would go and send them the refuah against these nechoshim. The problem is that over time, things kind of got a little bit warped, and people said, you know what, maybe this nechash nechoshis, which has outlived all of the other gods and Avodah Zarah, maybe this in fact is a god itself. Maybe if we pray to it, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that made it. You know, I didn't make it. Even Shelley didn't do it. It was Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So obviously this must be holy and in Kedusha, so let's bow down to it. And unfortunately, people sinned and made this into a new form of Avodah Zarah, and that's why Cheskiyo HaMelech had to go and destroy.
And what's the translation of this Avodah Zarah?
Let's hear. Nechash Nechoshes?
Yeah.
Let's hear.
What is it?
Nechash Nechoshes.
Yeah.
A copper snake.
Right, copper snake. So think of how the snake was defooted, or defeated. Okay.
Good.
And now it becomes the thing. But then it becomes a symbol of the Kedusha Society.
Can you imagine?
You know, the medical society.
Yeah, that's what you see on the AMA, anything medical association, they have the form of Nechash Nechoshes. People don't focus on it. You think
but
about
it also has a sword, it can kill you.
Yeah, the Nochash. the snakes. But if it's on top of the tower, on top of the pole, usually you don't have to worry about it.
And so funny, Nachash and Nechoshes, that's a joke already.
I heard from Rabbi Meiselman.
Yes.
That Mishnah, or whoever it is, Rosh Hashanah, or whoever it is, that there's a series of things where it says, Yudah Mishnah Moshes, it's Melchavana, or
exactly.
And Nachash Nechoshes.
Right.
It was in, it put it in there, and it was like from left field. That mm-hmm. This is because the time of the Notzrim, or the Notzrim, they use that as a, to show a remez.
Mm-hmm.
When you see somebody like this,
uh-huh.
what do you think it is?
Right.
And Nachash, when you see someone on a pole, so they put that Mishnah in there to get around the censors to say, no, it's not. This is not a remez to Osa Ish.
Gotcha. Very good. Beautiful. Shkoyach. Right. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, just going to finish off this shtikula. Says Mikan. From this, we see Talmud Chochem Shomet Var Halacha, who says something novel that people are shocked. Until now, we always gave Trumas and Mises for the last 1,000 years. Now Rameir comes along and says, "Yeah, you don't have to." Rebbe came along and said, "I heard from the nephew of Rameir. How can you do that?" Mikan Talmud Chochem Shomet Var Halacha Shein Mazichen Oisai. The Amri Lo Ein Maznichen Oisai. The Amri Lo Ein Maschichen Oisai. What do these three terms mean? Ein mezichan, says Rashi, means you don't try to separate him from his shmur by telling him you're wrong, and therefore discard that, omit that, delete that. That's mezichan, to go and separate him from his chiddush. Ein maznichan, I say, says Rashi, means that you don't go and curse him. Rashi says mishaktsim es dvarav. You don't go make him like in a sheikitz and say, any type of ruv that supports an erev. Then they call him the Erev Rav. So that's Loshen Maznich, and you go and kind of denigrate him. That's in Maznich. Amrullah, in Maschichen, or in Maschichen, says Rashi, means don't go and try to say that the fact that he did this is a simon that he happens to be a Balgava, that he happens to be a haughty, arrogant individual. He doesn't care what everybody else says, he does his own thing. So now, where do these three Lashonis come from? Mandiyam Mazichen, don't say Mazichen. Try to separate yourself in this halacha kirechziv. V'lo yizach ha-choshen y'ala eifoid. Choshen and the eifoid were tied together, so therefore you don't allow for a separation. Mandiyam is Maznichen, dechziv ki lo yiznach li'oilam Hashem. Hashem is not going to go and denigrate you and separate himself from you forever. Hashem will take you back into his arms. Mandiyam Maschichen, which means from a lashon gaiva, from a lashon of arrogance, that man. When people became more haughty and arrogant towards one another, they were not willing to bend towards one another. And that's why, unfortunately, you had a ribuy of machloikis in Klal Yisrael. Stop over here.
Stop.
We continue in the Yetchum tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai.